Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 22 this morning. Luke chapter 22. You know, we talked a little bit about a calling for the last couple of Sundays, and we talked about what that looks like for the Christian today. And I wasn't necessarily trying to alliterate when I kind of moved a little bit into this next message, but it did wind up starting with a C again. And this morning I want to talk about continuing with the Lord. In Luke chapter 22, here it is at Last Supper, and Luke documents something that is said to the disciples. In verse 28, it says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you teach us, all that you guide us in. Lord, I thank you for the instruction and the wisdom that we receive from your word. Lord, I thank you for the comfort and the conviction as well. And Lord, I just pray that this morning this would be a comforting message and or a convicting message, Lord, that causes us to reflect on our own life and ask the question, am I continuing with you? Through all the times, the good times, the bad times, the difficult times, and in temptation, am I continuing with you, Lord? Thank you again for those that are here. And again, pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we start looking at that word continue, we understand that there is something in this world that we could go and we could start pulling statistics about quitting. I started to look up some of the statistics about quitting and quitters and things of that nature. I mentioned the other day the subject of quiet quitting, which is an unbiblical concept we should never engage in. But there's this mentality that people just quit. You know, things get tough. What do? They quit. They just quit. Somebody's at work and it's a difficult workplace. You got a difficult boss. You got a difficult individual that you have to deal with at work. And some people just say, "I can't take it anymore. I quit." And they quit. I've had people quit when I was a manager. I had people quit on me. I've had people quit and leave for totally different reasons, totally different companies, and all sorts of things. I've had people quit. I've seen people quit church. I have been part of the people that quit church. I've seen family members that I have quit church. I've seen individuals not just quit church, but quit God entirely and walk away from Him and walk into the ways of the world. We understand that Paul experienced that too when he talks about that individual Demas. Who had loved this world, this present world, and became enamored with those things and quit walking with Paul in that ministry. Sometimes people just quit ministries. They can't take it anymore, whatever it may be, and they just quit. I mean, let's just face it. I say all of that to say this, is that we as individuals need to understand that we are quitters. We quit frequently. We just quit and stop coming, and we just quit and don't do this anymore. And sometimes we're in the middle of projects and we're trying to do something, and we just quit. We just quit. But we can't quit on God. We can't quit with Christ. And this is a very interesting subject, because just go back a little bit in this passage to verse 24, back to verse 23 to give the context. He just said somebody was going to betray him. And in verse 23, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." They're asking, "Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Well, I know it's you. I know it's you. I know it's you." And you know what that led to? That led to the one-upmanship of, "I'm better than you. It's not me." Because look at what happens in verse 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." I'm sorry. My imagination runs wild with this one. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, Peter just looks at everyone with that judgmental look. Good judgmental Baptist look. Staring down at everybody like, "Well, I know it's not me. Why isn't it you?" "Well, because I'm Peter." And John's like, really, Peter? Jesus loves me. Shut up, John. I mean, James and John engaged in that, and they even had their mother engage and help in that debate that had happened previously. The same debate is still raging. The same debate still rages today. And people sitting there like, oh, you know, they look at that man as better than that man, and so on and so forth. You know what? When it comes down to it, we're all human beings. We're all flesh, and we all have faults. So in the eyes of the Lord, we're all the same, and we need to just judge that as that way. Stop putting men on pedestals and have Christ on the throne. End of story. But here, this is the subject matter and the context of what is going on. And Jesus Christ addresses them, and he addresses them saying, well, the Gentiles have kings and authorities and so on and so forth. And there's other further discussion about them being rulers over the 12 tribes and things in other passages and things. But what we're looking at here is as he goes through all of this and they're debating this about who is going to be the greatest, he does something that is unique. I mean, when they started to get off the track and off rails, Jesus Christ sometimes was pretty quick to correct them. He doesn't correct. He commends. He commends. And he tells them, you guys have been here the whole time. You've continued with me. Now we know what happens later in the garden, because all men forsook him. John and Peter come back, but John was found at the foot of the cross. Peter denied and left. But as we begin to think about this subject matter, and as we begin to think about our own personal lives, would we be included in this verse of saying, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation? I want us to think about that this morning. The message is simple. And really, it's one point. Are you continuing? Or are you quitting? You break this thought down and you begin to realize that all of this goes back to what he says over in John, where he even mentions over there in John chapter 6, which is a very hard passage. We find that in John 6:66, that a bunch of disciples left him because there was a doctrine that was too hard for them to understand. They couldn't wrap their heads around it. They thought it was weird, and they just left. But in John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus Christ even refers to Judas as a devil at some point. And when we think about this for a moment, we think about the context of this Last Supper, and we think about the context of this argument that is going on, this strife, as it's called here in Scripture, we realize that there's something here that the Lord wants to encourage them in. And just sticking with it. You know, the Bible talks about how in the last times there's going to be a falling away. And I think we've seen some of that. You know, in this day and age, right now, a lot of people are talking about, you know, a resurgence of people looking into things of the Bible and churches and things of that nature because of some events that have happened recently and things of that matter. And I understand that, and I get that. But let's not kid ourselves. We know what happens. Yeah. Yeah. We know that this world does not like Christians because they hate Jesus Christ. And he told that to the disciples. And look, it's applicable today. We see it today. There are people that hate the word Christian. There are people that hate the word God. There are people that if you even reference the Bible, you just see them, they go like 50 shades of red all of a sudden because they just get angry. Turn over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 20. I just want to point this out, Proverbs chapter 20. And I want to make this clear as I state this morning. This isn't for us to sit there and judge and use this verse to follow the same line of thinking that the disciples have, which is, well, I'm a great man of God, or I'm a great this, or I'm a great that. Because in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Isn't that true? I mean, we have a tendency to do that. We think we're pretty good people. I mean, none of us have robbed the bank. Most of you are suspicious about me about that. Because I keep using that as an example. But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, we judge it in that way. Well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, good for you. Not everybody can say that. But you know what? When we start looking at these things, and we start looking at how everyone proclaims their own goodness, we're all going to talk about how good we are. We generally don't. I mean, it makes an awkward situation if, I mean, look, we have that small talk chat. We walk up to somebody and we ask them how they're doing. We really don't want to know. But we ask them how they're doing anyways, right? How would it be if all of a sudden in that conversation you just said something of the nature of, you know what? Actually, I'm doing pretty bad. Oh, what's wrong? I keep sinning. Oh? Oh, yeah, the other day, I mean, you know, I ran some guy off the road. I hit his car. It was a hit and run. And, you know, I'm running from the cops now. Okay. Yeah, and the other day, you know, I didn't feel like paying for a candy bar, so I stole it from the 7-Eleven. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just filed my taxes and I cheated on them. So. You would probably cut the conversation short. Or you would be deeply concerned. But no, what do we usually do? We proclaim our own goodness. But notice what the rest of the verse says. A faithful man who can find. You know, that's what God's looking for in this life, is faithfulness. It says that a steward is to be found faithful over there in 1 Corinthians 4. I mean, when we start thinking about this, we realize that that's what the Lord was commending, and that's what continuance is about, is just continuing one step and another 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 step. That's what continuing is about. I mean, notice if you go back over there to Luke chapter 22 and in verse 28, how he begins to phrase it, he says, and essentially it breaks down into three important little principles here. The first one being continue. He says, ye are they which have continued. You've continued. And we look at the disciples we look at them, as I said, with that kind of Baptist judgment look. We look down on them and we say, oh, you know, they're obtuse at times and they stumble. And here, I mean, look at their pride. I think before we start picking the mote out of their eye, we better deal with the beam in ours. Amen. I mean, when we look at this this concept here, we see their faults are just, they're very dutifully revealed to us. I mean, we look at Peter, and a lot of people can relate to Peter, because Peter kind of matches some of the things we do. People are like, yeah, he was true. He was genuine. Yeah, he was. But you know, Peter was also a good man and a great man of God. He did some things for the Lord that you're never going to do. When was the last time you raised somebody up from the dead? When's the last time you healed somebody that was crippled? When's the last time you did something like that? When's the last time you cast out a demon? Yeah, I'm not doing that one. I mean, and all of these words are inspired of God and put here in the Bible for us to learn from. And it's all done for revealing to us that our own faults and what we have to deal with. But in the end of all of this, and even when they did forsake him in the garden, the Lord still commends them for their faithfulness with just simply walking with him. You know, so many times people get this idea of, oh, I want to be great for God. I want to do great things for God. I want to do all these things for God. I want to be a great preacher. I want to be a great missionary. You know, I want to be the best soul winner that is out there. You know, I want to be the best giver that can be giving whatever I give. I want to be super Christian. Do you know what God considers the best? Faithfulness. Just walk with him. Just walk with him. I'm going to use this as an example. I'll deal with it when I get home. If you haven't noticed, there's a slight difference between the height of my wife and me.
No.
And she's got short legs. And I used to have a tendency to walk fast. We'd be in the mall, we'd be in the store. She'd be holding my hand. And she's like, for every step that I'm taking, she's taking like four. She's getting an aerobic workout. You know, we go on a walk. Her trying to keep up with me was, she was like, would you just slow down? And I felt when I slowed down, I was walking like this. Now, since I've slowed down a little bit, the other day at the store, and God's sitting there going, you remember how you used to walk fast? She goes into the store, and she's like 7 aisles ahead of me, and I'm just sitting there going, trying to keep up. You want to walk together. The Bible doesn't want you walking in front of the Lord. The Bible doesn't want you walking behind him. And the Bible is clear on that. The Lord is clear on that. The way Christ says is to walk with him. And that's what we need to realize. It's the with him part. That's where the faithfulness comes in. Not walking our own pace. Not walking our own path. Not walking somewhere different, not saying, you know what, I don't like this. This is a bit, you know, of a rough terrain. I want a smoother path. I want a wider path. And the Lord says, no, this is the right path. We're on the right path. And the right path sometimes is the most difficult path. And sometimes doing what is right and doing righteousness according to the Word of God is a difficult thing for us to do. And it makes us make choices. It makes us make decisions. It makes us step back and say, you know, do I really want to do this? Because I'm going to lose X, Y, and Z. Well, better that you lose it here on this earth. It's better to lose it here. Because God just simply commended them, even with all of the stuff that we know about the disciples. He said, you continued with me. They're arguing about the greatest, and the implication is, as God says, you're great already because you just simply walked with me. Because you walked with me. You know, you go over to John chapter 6. Let's turn there in John chapter 6. And there's passages in the Bible that just, you know, they hit you like a brick. And sometimes they're convicting, and sometimes they cause you some pause. Sometimes you go over there and you read some things, like at the end of Judges, and go, what just happened? and you're trying to wrap your head around it. But this verse, John 6:66, there's something about that number. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what? There's going to be a lot of people that are no longer going to walk with God. And maybe it's because a doctrine is too hard. Maybe it's because they don't like the color of the carpet. Maybe it's because they're tired of the world putting them down and hating on them. Maybe, there's a whole slew of reasons that we can talk about quitting and walking away from God. And in this passage, they walked away because the saying was just too hard. It was just too hard. And there's passages in the Bible, man, you read them and they're convicting. They're convicting. We can't just gloss over them. And sometimes there's difficult passages that we read and we're like, would the Lord really ask me to do that? Yeah, maybe he would. But in verse 67, it says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? I like Peter's answer. In verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, Peter's known for saying stupid things, putting his foot in his mouth. And I guess that's why we like to relate to Peter, because we say stupid things. But you know what? He didn't say some stupid thing there. He said something that was truth. He said, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Yeah, it's a hard saying. Yeah, we don't get it. Yeah, we don't understand it, because they really didn't fully understand it. But they're like, we know you've got the right words. You've got the words to eternal life. Why are we going to go anywhere? Who else has got that? When you compare it out there, what person in the world has something to say like the Lord says in his book right here? There is no other person on the face of the earth that has lived or died that can say the things that are said in this book the way he says them, that has that effect on you the way that God does with his Spirit. There is nobody else. And Peter goes, where am I going to go? Who am I going to go to? Who else is going to teach me this? Your truth, as we talked about this morning. They left him. As many of his disciples left him. These ones didn't. They stuck with it. And I'm pretty sure that what he's referencing here in Luke 22 is part of what he's referencing over in John chapter 6. Go back to Luke chapter 22, and in verse 28 it says, ye are they which have continued with me, with God, with Christ, in my temptations. You know, when you think about that, they weren't around when he was tempted in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, Luke 4, they weren't around with him at that point in time, because it was right after the baptism he goes up into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. Nobody was there with him. Nobody was there to comfort him. It was just Jesus alone. But after he came back and he began his ministry and things started to happen and things started to occur, there was some major discussions. The Pharisees didn't like it. The scribes didn't like it. The Sadducees didn't like it. The priests and the high priests didn't like it. The Roman government didn't like it. Herod didn't like it. People didn't like it. Even his own family didn't like it. But you know what? This little group that stuck with him, the 11, because we're not going to include Judas in this, even though he was included in that statement, he's not being included in what we think. They stuck with it. They all went to the garden with him. And yeah, they all fled from the garden. But what we realize is that they were there through all the temptations he went through all the afflictions he went through all the reproaches that he went through all of the interrogation and the entrapment that they were trying to do to Jesus, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, and they were all trying to capture him in something, trying to twist his words and trying to get a gotcha moment with him. Something of that nature. They were there the whole time. They were there the whole time. They were there when they tried to take him. And they tried to kill him. They were there with him. They saw all that. That's why when you go back over there, there was a bit of a question about, hey, we're going to go back to Bethany and visit our dead friend, Lazarus. And the disciples are like, isn't that the same place that they wanted to kill us? We're going back there? Yeah. And Thomas says, well, let's go. If we're going to die, we're going to die. Let's go. Gotta love Thomas. But, I mean, you begin to realize that they were there through all those things. They witnessed all those things. They saw those things with their own eyes. They stuck with it. They stuck with it. And here we have this great, I mean, just beautiful picture of just being faithful. And look, I know we knock the disciples and we come down hard on them, but we would have done a lot of the same stuff. But the Lord just simply said, look, you're just faithful. You're continuing with me even as I'm going through the dark times. I'll tell you this, you need to make sure that you're willing to continue with the Lord even through the dark times, even through your greatest trial, even through when your faith is being proved, what it is you believe about God and what he has said and whether or not you're doing it in obedience, which is going to be tried and which is going to be proved. Are you still walking with God? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is something that just kind of, if you will, brings it to mind about what type of things that the Lord went through in the ministry that these disciples witnessed, that they saw. And it says in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. You know, the fact that everything that he did, there was this group that was contrary to him the whole time. Everything he said, they had to discount. Everything that he said, they had to try to prove wrong. Everything that he said, they tried to twist. Everything that he went through, every action he did, every healing that he did, rather than rejoicing about it, would sit there and criticize it. So when you realize it, as it says there, he endured a contradiction of sinners, we can understand that statement. And it's an encouragement that we look at that and we go, you know what? I'm not going to faint. If he can do that, I can continue to walk with him. If he can endure those things and he can go through all of that, I myself can do the same. If I am walking with him, I can't do it on my own. I have to be with him in that same path, not a parallel path, not a path of my own choosing, but whatever path he leads me on, I am walking there side by side with him, not ahead and not behind. So how do we continue? Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and while we think about those things, there's a heaviness that's there. The Lord gives us a way that he says, here's how you're going to continue. Here's how you continue to walk with the Lord. John chapter 15, and in verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. He says, continue ye in my love. You want to continue to walk with the Lord? Here's how you continue. Continue in His love. Don't stop loving. Don't stop loving the Lord, and don't stop loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't stop doing that. The minute you do is the minute you stop walking with God. And as much as the disciples would bicker back and forth and have that little strife that was going on, you know what? They were demonstrating love to one towards another, which is exactly what he's talking about here at the Last Supper, instructing them, saying, look, you need to love each other. You need to love each other. You may have disagreements. You may have difficulties. But don't stop loving. Don't stop loving. Because the opposite of love is hate. We got enough hate going on. Take a look at what he says in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And this is how we continue. We continue in His love. And specifically, he tells us here in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 1, four words, powerful words, amen? Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. There's the let part. It's not going to happen naturally. But you need to make sure you never hinder it. Never suppress it. Never put it down. Never allow anything to stop it. You need to let it continue. And if you are walking with the Lord, it will naturally flow. If you continue in His love with Him. Take a look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, he says this about continuing. And he's giving a warning to the church at Rome. He's saying, look, don't get so elevated in your own mind that you think you're better than Israel, because you're not. We aren't. All the sins that Israel did, the church does today. So, let's just be honest about that. And he warns and he says something here about, you know, getting cut off, and that doesn't mean losing salvation. That doesn't mean getting, you know, so understand that. But in verse 22, he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. We often focus on the severity of God. Well, I don't want to be punished. Well, if you don't want to be punished, then focus on the goodness of God. Because he says, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. He's saying Israel got treated severely because of their iniquity. And rightfully so. And he says, you guys have got the good stuff. Why? Because you got the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, we've got the complete whole Bible. They didn't have that back then. We do. And what does he say here? He says, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And he says, you know what you need to do? You need to continue in God's goodness. When you continue in God's goodness, that means you are taking what He has done and has ordained as good, and you are using it in your life to do the same good. Doesn't he say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are ordained unto good works? There's the goodness. Continue in His goodness, not your own goodness. Notice, it's not your own goodness. It's God's. You continue in His love, you continue in His goodness. Take a look at what he says over in the book of Colossians. Here's how we continue on a day-to-day basis. Continue in love, His love. Continue in goodness, His goodness. Colossians chapter 4, And he says here in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Christian, does not the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5 that you are to pray without ceasing? Continual, 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 continual. Continue in prayer. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for so many things. Pray for the leaders of this country. Pray for the leaders of this community. Pray for the people in the church. Pray for your family members. Pray for your loved ones. But above all, make sure that when you pray, it's not just want, 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 want. Make sure you are praying and praising God for His goodness and His love. Continue in that prayer. Continue in thanksgiving. Don't ever stop giving thanks to God because you are so, so, so blessed. Amen. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and in chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy this. You want to continue in these things? Okay, so we know about continuing in His love, continuing in His goodness, continuing in prayer. And here's what he says in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 4. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And what is he saying? He's saying continue in doctrine. You know what's really sad? A lot of Christians don't even know their Bible. I gave that statistic the other day. 6%. 6% of so-called Christians today can even identify who Noah was. Can identify what the difference is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Could even identify the Apostle Paul. Look, this book is filled with doctrine. And you know what doctrine is? It's taught truth. Well, what did we here learn about this morning? Who is truth? Youth group answer. Jesus, the Bible, God. There he is. That's him. And he's saying, you know what? You continue in that. Continue in the doctrines of God. Not the doctrines of men, and certainly not doctrines of devils, but doctrines of men. We don't do that. That's traditional stuff. That's stuff that they try to make in form of legalism and extra quote-unquote holiness. And that's not what we're talking about. No, the doctrines of God. Know what this book means. Know what this book is about. Know how they all interconnect. Learn more about this book. The more you learn about this book, the better you will be. The less you learn about conspiracy theories, the better you will be. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, thank you. But you understand, sometimes we devote ourselves to the wrong thing that we think is right. Look, yeah, I'd buy there's conspiracy theories that I buy because of stuff that I know. And I'll be very clear on that, yeah. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter. That does. Amen. Jesus Christ does. We should be more concerned with that. Continue in His doctrine. Continue in His doctrine. Go over to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, this is how we continue with the Lord. We continue in His love. We continue in His goodness. We continue in prayer to Him. We continue in His doctrine. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And what does he wind up talking about in this specific passage? As you go through, he talks about how he was taught Scripture. And he teaches that all Scripture is given by God and is profitable. But in verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And I'll tell you this, these are the things that you have learned. And he says, continue and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he's not talking about learning them from himself or learning them from his mom and his grandma. He's talking about learning them from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Because it's given by inspiration of God, that's who he's talking about. And very clear, this is what we wind up doing. You want to continue with the Lord? Continue in this. Continue in His Word. Continue in His Word. Finally, turn over to the book of James. The book of James. And I could go into this and I could start another sermon right now about this, but I'm not going to. But let me ask you this. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, did He set you free? He set you free from the bondage of sin and death. Now, does that mean that you're not going to die here physically? You may not. You may be caught up in the rapture. Or we may pass away here on this earth. Either way, we're with God in glory. Okay? Either way. So, how it goes and how it happens, I mean, it'd be pretty cool to go on the rapture. But I'm just content being with Him. Okay? And think about this for a moment. You were set free. You were set at liberty, is what God says. Right? Now look, liberty has bounds. Liberty doesn't mean anarchy. Liberty is not democracy. Liberty, it doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want to do. All good liberty has to have governance. And the governance that we find with the liberty is what we find in the liberty that God has established here. Saying, do we have liberty to continue in sin? God forbid. Do we have liberty to do whatever we want in our own will? God forbid. Do we have liberty to choose who it is that we love? No, God forbid. But I will be very clear. You have liberty, and within that liberty, you have as much liberty to do as much of God's goodness and love as much as He has loved. You're unrestricted. You're unrestricted. You have an unfettered liberty to study and learn the doctrines of God. You have unfettered liberty to be in the Word of God and to use the Word of God according to according to His Word. That you have unfettered liberty for that. So you know what you need to continue in? Not liberty to do what you want, but to do liberty according to Christ. In James chapter 1 and in verse 25, it says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is what we're looking for. Not just liberty in general, but the perfect law of liberty. It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. You find perfection in the Word of God. You find law in the Word of God. You find liberty in the Word of God. And you know what He says? Continue therein. And it says this, if you can do that, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You will be blessed in what you do. You will be blessed in your actions. You will be blessed. And I am not talking about prosperity here, folks. I'm talking about what we've talked about before, where we are a blessing unto God. Let's stop looking for blessings in our life and let's look for how we can bless God. And I'll tell you that, when we start talking about that and you're going to be blessed in your deed, that means your works are going to be a blessing to the Lord. And we can bless the Lord that way. Go read the book of Psalms. How many times does He say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord? We can bless the Lord. Because the opposite is true, which we often find that we do, which is we can grieve the Lord. Let's not grieve the Lord. Let's bless Him. Let's bless Him. And I'll tell you this, a person that looks into the perfect law of liberty of God that is found in the Word of God, that is found in His goodness, that is found in His love, that person is going to be a blessing. And He says, continue in it. Look into it, learn about it, but don't just hear it, but do it. We continue walking with the Lord when we continue to walk in liberty of Christ. We can continue. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll close with this. Second Timothy chapter 1. Paul went through some tough stuff. And he even says the stuff that we go through is, I mean, as compared to what we were going to see in glory, it's but a light affliction, amen? You might have difficult times. You might be one of those people that I saw something, I showed it to somebody the other day, and it was this little picture. And it said, you know, some people have guardian angels. And then it said, I have a raccoon with a crowbar asking how to make things worse. And I'm like, I want that t-shirt. Sometimes that's the way we think, all right? But you know, the Lord tests us and the Lord puts us through some stuff. But I'll tell you this, as the disciples saw and as they went through some stuff that they saw with the Lord, and as they went through some tough stuff with them, they continued. Yeah, they may have fallen, but you know what? The Lord says they got back up and they continued to serve the Lord. And they may have fallen a couple of times, but they continued to serve the Lord. A majority of them were martyred because they continued to walk with Him. Paul went through some stuff because they hated him because he loved Christ and they hated Christ. And verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For these things which cause, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And then he says, hold fast the form of sound words. In the end, I think we would all be very happy with just simply saying or hearing those words, well, you walked with me. You may have tripped and you may have stumbled along the way, but you still walked with me. You may have gotten tired, you may have gotten weary, you may have sores on your feet and a bum leg, but you walked with me. Through the dark times, through the night, through the light times, through the blessings, through the rain, through the wet, through the bright sunshine, over the hills, over the mountains, in the valleys, through the darkness, you walked with Him. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you continuing to walk with Him? I'll give you an example of continuing. It's this. One foot in front of another. One day, one moment at a time. Don't try to leap. Don't try to pick up the pace. Follow the leading of your Savior. Continue to walk with Him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the time. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You have given to us, all that You have taught us. And Lord, I just pray that as we think on these things, that Lord, You would just use them in our life. As we meditate upon them, that Lord, we would use them in wisdom to please You, to serve You. but above all, to just simply walk with you. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement. And Lord, I thank you for the conviction. Lord, I thank you that we have an opportunity now to examine ourselves and whether or not we're walking with you. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that maybe isn't walking, isn't keeping the pace, maybe has stopped, that Lord, they'd hear these things and they'd be encouraged to keep going for you. And Lord, again, I just thank you for all that you've given to us, and above all, the gift of salvation, that we can begin that walk. And Lord, I pray that if there's here somebody here today that has not trusted you as their Savior, that Lord, your Holy Spirit would show them the need for a Savior, that would reveal that their sin has separated them, that they're not walking with you, they're walking their own path, and that path leads to destruction. And Lord, I pray that you would just work in their heart, that they would come during this time of invitation, seeking salvation from you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, and these things I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.